Welcome, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cab Adventure Radio program. Today is March 23rd, 2019. You know, I've been away for just about 10 days, 12 days, 14 days, whatever it is, 2 weeks, right? I can't, one, can't remember the date, two, getting excited because I'm back on the air here. And I missed last week due to a seminar, and first thing and foremost, I want to say thank you to my guest host, Rick Dodd and Ross Benton Watson there. They did a fantastic job. Got a couple of videos up there on the YouTube channel if you want to check it out. But I want to say thank you to them. Thank you to all the sponsors. Thank you to the crew here who kept it going for me while I was doing the seminar. We were doing an advanced training seminar for some of the churches around here, and it went fantastic. So I can't thank them enough. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we are simulcasting right now on KMIL right here, right now on 105.1 FM The Ranch and at a Rockdale at KRXT 98.5 FM. So if you're having static or whatever and you can't get them, go to the prospective websites and listen to the live feeds there. As you know, I go to CEFCO to get my coffee every morning. So here it is in the video. I'm showing it to you, my CEFCO Fresh Joe. They got a special going on. Rollers, two for $2.20. Make sure you get it. They got some type of deal going on where if you help the ladies out and get your rollers, they get to be rewarded for all their hard work. So check it out and help the ladies out there at CEFCO Hilltop in Cameron. You can contact us here at the studio at 254-697-6633 or give me an email at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com. Number here at the studio is 254-697-6633. Love to hear from you. Or give me an email at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com. And don't forget, check out the social media here at aaronsgunshop.com. Go to the Facebook page. Like us on Facebook. I post things up there to give you updates and current events as to what's going on or videos of me messing around with guns and things of that nature. And you'll also want to go there for today's product spotlight, which will be the Glock 43X, sponsored by ANSI Firearms. If you go scroll down a little bit, you'll see me holding that pistol. It's quite a nice pistol. Also on Instagram, make sure you follow us on Instagram. And by all means, become a subscriber to the YouTube channel. There's way too many videos for you not to be watching and learning and gleaning off of things that I teach, things that other people teach, product spotlights, the works. Okay, so lots of things going on. And we got a lot going on the show. Let me give you some highlights of what's coming up. As always, true stories of self-defense from the American Rifleman's The Armed Citizens column. We're going to learn what to do and what not to do in situations like these, so get your note-taking materials ready. This week's LTC attorney segment, license to carry attorney segment, is sponsored by Coppolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm, and it's going to be the continuation of the Bill of Rights, and we are on the Sixth Amendment. And attorney extraordinaire Ben Ross Watson is going to come in to break all that down for us. And before the close of the hour, we'll have another delicious tactical snacking segment from the delicious Janae Goodman. She's always got great information to give us, and so she'll be doing that right before the top of the hour. And of course, at 11, we've got the voice of law enforcement, retired police chief Randy Dixon, the Duke of Decency, the connoisseur of common sense, the pontificator of practicality, and all-around good guy. Randy Dixon is the voice of law enforcement. Now, like I mentioned earlier, ladies and gentlemen, this week's product spotlight, sponsored by ANSI Firearms, is the Glock 43X in 9mm. Now, I call this another niche gun because it fills the gaps of what a person may like in their handgun. You know, you've got all these different types of Glocks out there, and they all seem to fit a different person's personality, hand, and all that. And this is just another one of them. It's a perfect niche gun. So we'll be talking about that. You can go to aaronsgunshop.com, go to the Facebook page, and like I said, take a look at the little short video I had there of me holding that pistol. Then give ANC Firearms a call at 254-983-4417. Tell them you heard it here. Tell them you want to buy it there. You know, support the sponsors, support the program, okay? Then my interview segment is going to be moi. And this is going to be interesting because I was just looking at some notebooks of mine, and a couple weeks ago, I think it was, wasn't it, Joel, that I played the 7 points of preparedness? It's basically what happens to you when you realize you're behind the curve. You go through these 7 stages of preparedness. Well, I just happened to be looking through some of my notebooks, and I saw all these notes that I was taking on preparedness. And so I think what I'm going to do is, on the interview segment, is just tell you about my thought process, my mindset, read you my notes, and you know, take some of your own notes. It might be some good things you haven't thought about. So when we get back, we're going to start with true stories and self-defense, and we're going to have a good time. So take us out, buddy. We'll see you on the other side. This segment of Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio program is being brought to you by Twin Pistol Bail Bonds, LLC. Have you been arrested? Are you in jail and want to get out? Call Twin Pistol Bail Bonds at 254-697-6035. Twin Pistol Bail Bonds accepts credit cards and debit cards. Call-ins are also accepted. Conduct your business privately in the Twin Pistol Bail Bonds offices, which are located directly across from the Milam County Sheriff's Office at 707 West 4th Street in Cameron. You're in jail and you want to get out. Let Twin Pistol Bail Bonds help. Call Twin Pistol Bail Bonds now at 254-697-6035 and ask for Dustin Thomas or Lisa Roden. Twin Pistol Bail Bonds, 254-697-6035. That's right, everybody. I am back in the saddle and loving every minute of it. Once again, I want to thank Rick and Ross for taking charge of the show last week. They did a great job, but I missed it a lot. Now, we are here in the True Stories of Self-Defense coming out of the American Rifleman's The Armed Citizens column, and it's the most current issue, April 2019. It's page 10. If you got your magazines, pull them out and read along. Here we go. Story number one. An armed citizen provided timely aid to a store employee who was assaulted by two shoplifters. In Loomis, California, a man and woman walked into a store and apparently attempted to leave with more than $50 worth of goods. A store employee confronted the pair over the alleged theft and was attacked by the male shoplifter with a knife. As the pair scuffled, the woman picked up the knife in an attempt to injure the worker as well. A bystander with a concealed carry permit saw the incident and drew a firearm, ordering the woman to drop the knife and remain where she was. Officers soon arrived and arrested the pair for multiple criminal violations. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a clear-cut case of protection of a third person. You are able to do that. If you've got a license to carry and you're walking down the street and something goes down, you can get yourself involved if you want to. That's protection of a third person, okay? Just when you're going to use a firearm, make sure it's worthy of pulling out your firearm, okay? Because we have this joke around here. We do pot every day. I do pot all day long. And pot is a perception of threat. And based on the perception of threat will determine what I'm going to do in the force level scenarios, because there's force, reasonable necessary force, and deadly force. So if I come into a scenario and all it needs is, hey, don't do that, and I pull out a gun, that's overkill. No pun intended. All right, story number two. Attorney extraordinaire Benton Ross Watson is in the house. What's going on, Ross?
Ready, man.
All right. Story number two. In the early morning hours in Temecula, California, a retired Marine awoke to the sounds of a break-in. Arming himself with a handgun, the homeowner went to confront two would-be burglars who had entered his rural residence. One of the suspects opened fire on the Marine. This act resulted in a shootout inside the home. After emptying his firearm, the homeowner retreated to another room as the two suspects fled. One of the suspected attackers, who apparently had been hit by the armed citizen during the incident, was taken to the hospital for treatment with gunshot injuries. Sheriff deputies responded to an emergency call at the residence and alerted local hospitals to watch for suspicious people with gunshot injuries. Deputies soon learned of a man at a hospital who was believed to have been involved in the shootout with the retired Marine, and an investigation was launched into the incident. Now, ladies and gentlemen, on that one, you know, when somebody breaks into your home like that, you can be a little bit out of it, right? But the first thing he did was he went and got his weapon. Then he engaged. And yeah, okay, he obviously didn't get good hits on his target, but he still got him, all right? The point is, you always go to get your weapon first. Don't go look at the problem and then go back to get your weapon. Get your weapon first. The other thing you might want to consider is this. With all these guns coming out for concealed carry, you know, you want light, tight, small, compact, and you can carry some extra mags. At home and at night, you might want that Glock 19 with the 30-round magazine or the Glock 21 with a 25-round magazine, so you don't have to worry about reloads, because the story stated he ran out of ammunition. Well, that's the worst thing in a fight, is running out of ammunition. The fight only lasts as long as there's ammunition in it, okay? So have more than he does, or the intruder does. Story number three. A domestic dispute escalated into violence one evening in Nebo, North Carolina, as a 69-year-old woman got into an altercation with her grandson, who was described as agitated over a grievance. In response, the young man allegedly dragged his grandmother and her wheelchair outside of the house and began to assault her. The elderly woman's son-in-law, who lives near the residence, witnessed the commotion. Pulling out his firearm, the son-in-law shot the young man in the leg to prevent further injury to her. The grandmother had suffered injuries to her hands, arms, and neck, and her assailant has been charged with assaults as deputies, blah, 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 continue to investigate. Okay, I'm going to go off of this story based on how it's written. It sounds as though the son-in-law aimed purposely at the guy's leg, okay? I can look at that two ways. Here you are, your family, and you don't really want to kill this dude, but you want to stop it, and you feel that it's necessary to use your firearm, and you want to, what they so-called, wing them, okay, so they stop doing it. That's a very dangerous thing to do. It can lead to a whole bunch of legality problems. So I can understand possibly the way it's written, him not wanting to kill the individual, but there could have been another way to do it. So my bottom line is this. If you're going to use that firearm, if you're going to pull that trigger, it's meant to stop the threat. And I mean stop it, not wing it. Okay, so keep that in mind when it comes to your training purposes. All right. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you know I have always an opinion and observation. And on this one's a little... it'll be probably a little heated. So I'm going to play a disclaimer first. And Kincaid, you ready to do that? Mm-hmm. Let's go ahead and play that. When I come back, I'll read you my observation piece. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is usually my opinion piece. And I'm going to give you my opinion. But I want to make a disclaimer here first. I do this show. People ask me, why do you do this show? And sometimes I got to look in the mirror and ask myself, sometimes I wonder why I do this show. I do this show because I feel as though, with my age and experience, I've got something to offer. And it's just my makeup, my being. I'm not really a teacher. A teacher is one who learns something that somebody else knows and then teaches somebody else. I am a teacher, but I'm also a creator. I look at all the things out there. I glean all this information. I come up with hypotheses and ideas and concepts, try to advance, modernize, smooth out the rough edges, make better, make quicker, all the different techniques possible. So I'm not just a teacher, I'm an innovator in a lot of things. Sometimes, however, my opinion may not be the opinions of others, and God bless America for it too. But I want to make something clear on this program. This is my show, and it's sponsored by different types of people. And those people may not have the same view that I have, although they like most of the show. So I want to make the disclaimer is this. The opinions that I put on this show are mine alone. They have nothing to do with sponsors or other guests unless they acknowledge it for themselves. So I just want to make that clear. What I say comes from me. Doesn't necessarily mean it's supported 100% by anybody associated with the show, you, the listener, or whoever. Okay? So I wanted to make that clear. Or the radio station, for that matter. So now, with this... All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm back live here. I want to make that disclaimer because I'm now, what is it? Today's March 23rd, right? I'm going to now read to you my observation piece. And it's titled, In My Eyes, You're No Man. Ladies and gentlemen, Beto O'Rourke dodges the question. Are you against third trimester abortions? His reply, the question is about abortion and reproductive rights. And my answer to you is that should be a decision that the woman makes. I trust her. He said that to cheers and applause. Well, first of all, he didn't answer the question. The question was if he was against third trimester abortions. He diverted and dodged the question. He's a politician. All politicians lie. All of them do. All the way up to the White House. Right now, in future, and in past, they all lie. You'd be a fool to believe otherwise. So, to any of you listening to this who are pro-choice, let me set this up. I'll allow you incest, rape, massive retardation, impossible death to the mother, and even give you the first trimester privileges of aborting the life that is in you. I've taken that all out of the equation. All you have now is what you want to, you know, what you want or how you want to terminate the baby for no other reason than it's inconvenient for you to have it. And for Beto O'Rourke or anyone else to nonchalantly pass the buck on that and not stand firm to protect that baby is downright sinful. That baby is a baby at conception, in my opinion. But for sake of argument, I'll go with your 8-week rule. My wife and I lost our second son to a complication early on, but after your precious 8 weeks. I saw his eyes, touched his 10 fingers and toes, marveled at his ribcage, and his defined arms and legs. For people to tell me that this is not a human being worthy of protection, I'll tell you these are people without conscience or dignity for life. Instead of aborting precious life, why don't we keep it in your pants, okay? And ladies, keep your legs closed. Sure, mistakes can happen, but I assure you that the birth of that beautiful mistake will give you years of joy while terminating that life will haunt you. There are many out there who can't have children who would love to have yours. Look at your brothers and sisters, then imagine them gone. Ladies and gentlemen, let us be protectors of life, not takers. And the reason I wrote this, if you remember back, you've got governors of states who are saying it's okay even after birth to make the decision as to whether or not we can abort the child. And I just think that's downright disgusting. So that's my observation. If you like it, great. If you don't, I really don't care. Okay, let's take a break. And when we come back, we're going to have attorney extraordinaire Ben Ross Watson. And we're going to be talking in 6 minutes. See you later. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Beatros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. AaronsGunshop.com.
Next time you need heating and air conditioning or even duct cleaning, call Climate Control Air Conditioning and Heating in Rockdale. Routine maintenance, repairs, installation, or duct cleaning. Get the pros at Climate Control Air Conditioning and Heating. 512-446-4020. Stop by 1244 US 79 in Rockdale. They can service all brands of residential and commercial HVAC systems and are available 24 hours a day, including weekends and holidays. For the best, call Climate Control in Rockdale. 512-446-4020.
Power. Sometimes you just need more. But what do you do when that yard equipment needs more or just isn't working like it used to? The answer is Cameron's Fall Engine, formerly Cameron's Heat Company, where friendly service and quantity work stop it at 408 West Bath. They provide all your outdoor power equipment needs. Check out their selection of Echo, Snapper, and Zero Turn Big Dog Bowls. Power through the summer with Cameron's Fall Engine. Call 254-697-3452 or stop in at 408 West Bath.
It's a trust as true as Texas, a friend with a helping hand. When you want to ensure the good things in life, trust Germania.
Are you comparing apples to apples on your insurance coverage?
Apples to apples?
Yeah, like making sure you have a great rate and outstanding coverage.
My company says they have the lowest rates, but I'm not sure about coverage.
How about service? When you're shopping for property insurance, do you compare coverage, service, and price to make sure you're getting the most for your money?
I never thought to ask.
Well, Germania Insurance has been insuring Texans for over 100 years.
I do need to do some comparing.
Just make sure you're comparing apples to apples with the right coverage and outstanding rates for property, auto, and your family.
So when you want to insure the good things in life, trust Germania.
Call 697-4683 for Sharon Ruback, representative of Ruback Insurance and Germania Farm Mutual Companies.
Capellino Dodd Krebs Law Firm focuses on cases involving asbestos exposure, mesothelioma, birth trauma, defective products, and injury and death resulting from car and truck wrecks. Call the tough, experienced injury attorneys at Capellino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron. Call 888-MESO-FIRM or 254-697-4965.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cabin Adventure Radio Program. It's March 23rd, 2019, and with me sits on the left side of me, attorney extraordinaire Benton Ross Watson, as fired up as ever. How's it going, Ross?
I'm great to be here, man. We missed you last week. Had it with me and Rick. Had a pretty good discussion, I think, several discussions. We were in charge of the whole show. You got faith in us, but it was pretty interesting. I hope you guys have a chance to check it out, and if you need to check out what Rick does, it's at respectforyou.com.
Well, we got your videos up, so check them out, and I think you'll like them. Ladies and gentlemen, just go to the YouTube channel. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. You get to see how they did the show last week. They did an awesome job. Can't thank
Rick gave enough. Some good, I don't know if people catch the second half of the show. Rick really went into some liability aspects of civil cases as far as you can have with guns and stuff like that. And you just showed me an article. I think you're going to be a good opportunity. I think Rick's coming on the next show or two. I think that'd be a good opportunity for you guys to talk about as far as the gun manufacturer liability.
Okay, because I know Rick is excited about the Seventh Amendment and wants to talk about it, and that's next week, so we'll put it all together. Now, speaking of the Bill of Rights here, I always read the preamble for a reason, because Congress wrote this after the ratification of the Constitution, because they wanted to make sure that there was no confusion and clarity. And the reason I bring this up all the time is because it just shows how important your amendments are. Okay, so I'm going to read this to you. Congress of the United States begun and held at the City of New York on Wednesday, the 4th of March, 1789. The conventions of a number of the states having at the time of their adopting the Constitution expressed a desire, in order to prevent misconstruction or abuse of its powers, that further declaratory and restrictive clauses should be added, and is extending the ground of public confidence in the government will best ensure the beneficent ends, did I say it right, of its institution. Okay, I'm a 50-cent word man, you're a dollar and 50-cent word man, so he helped me on that one to say it properly. And Ross, you got the show, brother. The Sixth Amendment. Tell us about it. Break it down. How does it apply? Why is it so important? Why should people know it? And why should people always be aware of that preamble to understand how important these rights are?
So the Sixth Amendment is going to be the criminal defense lawyer's tackle box. Okay? That's a good way to put it, for trial.
Okay.
Okay? A criminal defense trial lawyer's tackle box. Okay? It's going to give you a bunch of the rights that a criminal defendant is entitled to at trial. Okay, and there are actually several here. All right, I've tried to break it down into five, okay, with some subsets to make it easier to grasp. But let's just go ahead and read it real quick. In all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury of the state and district where the crime shall have been committed, which district shall have been previously ascertained by law, and to be informed of the nature and cause of the accusation, to be confronted with the witnesses against him, to have compulsory process for obtaining witnesses in his favor, and to have the assistance of counsel for his defense. Okay, and so
it's chock full of rights there, isn't it?
It is. It is. It's got a lot there, and some of them may not even stand out to you, but they're important when you look at the purpose of the right. And so let's break it down into five. We're going to say trial, notice, confront, witnesses, compulsory process, and attorney for your defense. Okay, but it really goes in. There's a lot more there, and if you wanted to break it down into each of them, right, you'd have way more than five. Okay, but let's start with trial. Well, we know we've got a right to the trial, but we got a right to a public trial. We got a right to a speedy trial. We've got a right to a jury trial. Not just a jury trial, but a jury trial of impartial, made up of impartial people. Okay? There's more rights here. From a district within the state where the crime is committed. Okay? And that's because I may offend some people. We don't want liberals from California, right, being juries on a conservative case in Alabama. Okay, because the environments are not the same.
That's right.
The local conduct.
It's almost like family. It's, you know, but out of my family business.
Basically. And there's things that are acceptable in different parts of the country. America's big and great. It's got so many different kinds of cultures. It's got so many different kinds of people and so many different kinds of laws that... what's acceptable in one part of the country is oftentimes not acceptable in another part of the country. Even though we are all Americans and we all do have this general sense of what is acceptable and what is not, there are very specific things that could really upset one area of a community that won't upset another area of a community in a different part of the country. So it's important that it be drawn from that specific district within that specific state. That makes sure that the jury is impartial.
Right.
Okay, and impartiality is a big thing. You want to make sure that you're getting peers that understand your case, and they're going to be fair to you. And a lot of times we have, my girlfriend this morning was watching the show about the funeral director in East Texas, Carthage, that murdered that lady and put her in the freezer. But he was such a good guy, and she was so evil, and everybody in the community actually probably would have found not guilty, because she was one of those. It was one of those deserved
good
killing
riddance,
defenses,
right? Yeah,
good killing defenses. And so the prosecutor, it's kind of one of those odd deals where actually the prosecutor was trying to change venue because it was unfair to him. He couldn't get a guilty verdict because everybody hated that lady.
That's like that movie, A Time to Kill, man. There's a time to kill and there's a time not to kill.
So, I mean, it is important to have an impartial jury on your side. That's the whole point in jury selection. I think one of my favorite things I used to get a kick out of, I really can't pull it off, but Clyde Chandler used to say, I'm not looking for a fair jury. Mm-hmm. I'm looking for a jury who's going to listen to my case. Okay? And so an impartial jury is somebody who's not going to be biased against you, somebody who's not going to let prejudice get in the way of listening to your case. And if I can get to a couple of stories or a good illustration.
Doesn't this all stem from back in the day when the founding fathers wrote this, come from England, and how people would be taken prisoner and kept in cells for weeks on end without any fair trial? That's why it's so precious, this amendment, to make sure that that doesn't happen to us here in this new country.
So that's getting into the notice portion, and we actually have... special provisions in Texas about you can't be held in jail for more than so many days on certain level. If like a Class B, Class A misdemeanors, right, state jail felony, first, second, third degree felony, each one of those has a different time period because of the seriousness of the offense. Mm-hmm. But in Texas, we require you within so many days, right, to be notified of exactly what the charges are and to be presented with the indictment. Or the prosecutors have to let you out.
Good job.
Okay, and that stems from, I stole that story specifically to Texas because that one actually has roots in the fact when Stephen F. Austin went down to Mexico to try to petition with Santa Anna, and Santa Anna was at that time already preparing that he was already going to come and try to quell some of the rebellion that was going on in Texas. And so instead of listening to Stephen F. Austin petition about certain locations, he just put him in jail.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't tell him what he was being put in jail for. He was put in jail for months, okay, and just left there, just to rot, essentially, and eventually just was let out, and he did make his way back to Texas, but it was totally unfair, gave no notice. And so you can't do that. It's a violation of your due process rights. I mean, you can't just put somebody in jail for without letting them know what they're there for and without giving them an opportunity to have access to counsel, without access to a way to get their freedom back.
It's a great example, yeah.
And so, sometimes things that don't stand out to people either. Why do you think we need public trials?
Because you don't want dirty tricks being done behind the scenes. You want it to be out in the open so that everybody knows what's going on. It's legit, it's fair, and there's no trickery.
Okay, that's all. You gave them several examples there, which are good. We had the Spanish Inquisition. We had the Star Chamber. We had, I don't even know how to pronounce it. I've heard the different names. Lettre de cachet, okay, or something like that.
Hey, watch it, man.
It was another French device for allowing secret proceedings. Okay, to challenge people. The Star Chamber is one of the worst. I've talked about it several times on here about the things that they did to bring challengers of the crown, bring those folks in and bring them in the Star Chamber. Mm-hmm. And it was essentially another Spanish Inquisition. It was another way to do an Inquisition. It was another way to get your challengers, political challengers, out of the way.
That's right.
Okay, and we don't want that. And everything that you just said is right. It needs to be public. It needs to be out in the open. So
today is March 23rd. The time is 10:35. I was right. Mark that in your calendars. You're not going to have that often, that I'm right. That's a joke, Ross.
Okay. I got you.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So it's public. It's a public trial. And it keeps the government honest.
Yes.
That's what it does. And it's so fundamental. Right, a lot of times it's not mentioned that much, but it's so fundamental. The court actually analyzes the public trial clause section, okay, with the First Amendment.
How many times do you know people? I know this happens to me. I cringe at the sound of it's going to be a closed door meeting. It's going to be no media allowed. I'm thinking, why? Why can't we go in there and see? What's the big deal?
Sometimes those are going to be permissible in cases of like child sexual assault, like when they're going to be bringing out some really hurtful information. Other times, juveniles. There's going to be some juvenile cases. There's going to be other trials maybe where there's an ongoing conspiracy that still the government is still working, right? But they've got this half all worked out and they're prosecuting this half. And so maybe they don't want all of the information to come out because they don't want other people learning about, right, what the government's about to do strategy-wise in an ongoing investigation. And so...
Well, if you say it's okay, then I'll take your word for it.
But those have to be very narrow, what we would call in the legal field is narrowly tailored.
Okay,
they have to be just enough to cover the stuff that we don't want everybody to hear, right? And that's it. It can't cover more stuff. Like there was a famous case, it was a 7-day secret trial when they only played like 2.5 days of, or maybe even less than that. I think it was even less than that. It may have been only hours worth of the confidential stuff. And the court said, nah, you can't do that. It needs to be, if it's 2 hours of confidential stuff, then okay, 2 hours needs to be made secret, not the whole week.
Okay.
So it's important to keep a check on the government. Speedy. Okay, just I'm gonna ask you, what do you think? Why do we have a speedy trial? What is the need for having speedy?
Kind of, it's kind of basically what I said earlier. You don't want to, if you're going to try to convict somebody of a crime, get it done and over with. Why torment, keep a person in jail if he ends up being innocent at the end? Why keep him in there for so long? If he's being accused, get the people, get the trial, get it done with.
But haven't you heard me on here before talk about, anything that's not a loss is a win from a criminal defense standpoint? And some of the best defenses are delay. Delay, delay, delay. So why would we want a speedy trial? I mean, it's kind of counterintuitive, right? We're trying to push it back. We're trying to let the defendant get more money so he can fund this thing. We're trying to get the defendant more money so he can have time to investigate. We're trying to have more time so that we can have the attorney really prepare for the case and find a defense.
What are we talking about? Speedy trial in the sense you're in the courtroom, you want it fast in the courtroom, or everything proceeding up to that day and time?
The whole process. The whole process. So, what? And then too. Where does the speediness come into? Because you already have the statute of limitations.
Well, it all depends.
The government's already going to have a limitations period to bring a case.
It all depends if you're sitting in a jail cell or not. If you're out, yeah, okay.
Bingo.
Delay as much as you want.
That's a big one, right? We don't want somebody sitting in jail, languishing in jail, right, without any means to be able to do anything about it. They need to either, if they're going to be languishing in jail, we need to have a process to make sure that they actually get heard, so that if they're not guilty, they don't sit in jail. And another thing is, what about witnesses? Witnesses and evidence. Over time, if the government could just delay forever.
People forget.
People die. Evidence disintegrates. Evidence disappears a lot of times. Mm-hmm. Right? Cops, people move. Yes, you do have compulsory processes. Goes into that. In a civil case, you're going to be limited. 100, 150 miles. You're not going to be able to go past that to subpoena people. Okay, in a criminal case, you got nationwide authority. You can go anywhere in the United States, right, and get your witnesses. Okay, and so, yes, people move, but it still makes it harder, no doubt, right?
Absolutely.
Even if I can go anywhere, you would agree with me that it'd be a whole lot harder to find a witness that moved to Alaska than if they just moved to Rockdale.
Absolutely.
So we got to have this speediness element, or the government could just delay in hopes that something would happen in their favor, and then they can bring the trial.
And then they win.
Right, yeah, exactly. And so a lot of times, though, they're not going to give this right to you. You know, they're not going to let me delay and acquiesce, like agree with the state. Yeah, delay and use that as a way to, and then when the delay works out not in my favor, then use that as a way to, right, get the case thrown out. Okay, so the defendant doesn't necessarily have to bring an action to speed up the trial, but he can't be a party to why there's been such a delay that maybe this clause, right, could be used to his benefit. So we have the two biggest rights, and so before we get into these, we talked about Brewer versus Williams, and that was it's one of my favorite cases, simply for just because of just everything. It's such a powerful story on both ends, where the man in the 1970s escapes from a mental institution. Miss Pamela Powers was a young girl. I think she was 7 years old, but I could be wrong on the exact age. But it was a small young girl, up and coming, very sweet. Just one of those stories where she is everything that parents and grandparents want their grandchild to be. Okay, and just a wonderful young girl, and was going at a play day, sort of at some sort of a facility, and that's happened to be where Mr. Williams, the escaped mental institution person who was in the institution, the defendant in this case, that gets off. Okay, Mr. Williams, he happened to go to the same facility when he's wandering around after he escaped from the mental institution. Okay, and so he sees Pamela Powers, and he takes her, and he essentially kills her, even puts her in a trunk, right, leaves the town, and buries her somewhere out in the wilderness. Now, Mr. Williams had been a preacher, right? He was very, there's probably a backstory to why he developed a mental illness, but he was a preacher and somebody who was very religious. He was very sensitive and emotional towards religion. And so eventually he comes to have like what we would call maybe a moment of clarity, and realizes that what he's done to this little girl. And he calls a lawyer and tells him what he's done. He says, I don't know why I have this problem, but I have it, and I need to turn myself in, and I need to make amends for what's been done, and I need to, you know, I just need help doing this. And so the lawyer arranges, and the authorities are going crazy, right? They're trying to find the person who kidnapped this little girl, and they don't know what's happened to her. And then the lawyer calls in and says, look, Mr. Williams calls me. He wants to turn himself in. He wants to talk about things, but under no circumstances are you guys to talk about it here, because he had traveled to a different town, a different location. And before we can talk about anything, I want you guys, as you're talking to the police, I want you guys to make sure that you bring him back here where you can have me present before he speaks with anybody. And the police agree. They even agree. They get the prosecutor involved. The prosecutor agrees no cops will question him. No, nobody will question him until he gets back to this town. The police chiefs are warned again. Again, do not talk to him. Do not ask him any questions. Do not do anything right, that would jeopardize the case, do not do anything that would talk about, right, the crime without his lawyer present. That means do not talk to him at all until you get back to where his lawyer is in this other town.
Okay.
And they continue to stress this point. This was made more than once, more than twice, more than three times. The police knew the deal. They agreed not to question him. Well, Officer Detective Lemming knows Mr. Williams, or he knows about Mr. Williams, and he knows that Mr. Williams has these sensitive predilections. He's already subject to being very emotional, right, with a religious sentiment. And so on the way back to this other town to meet the lawyer, Detective Lemming is the one that's tasked with the duty to drive Mr. Williams back to his lawyer. And so during that drive, and it's a several hour drive, right, Detective Lemming thinks that he's clever. And so instead of, you know, asking questions, he just starts playing on his emotion. You know, it would really be good to have for the family to be able to bury this little girl, you know, like a good Christian family would want and like a good Christian would deserve. And starts talking about things about how the spirit may not be able to go without, you know, a proper burial with the body. And talks about how important it is from a religious standpoint to have, right, the memorial service and to have the religious ceremony with the burial. And it's really just, you know, it'd be really good for you to tell us where that, you know, if we, he's maybe not like that even. Maybe it's just, it'd be really good if, you know, somebody would tell us where the body is so that we could have this this burial. And it's, they wanted the body, right, because they needed evidence, mm-hmm. right? A lot of times, I mean, they'll say that having the body is necessary for the conviction. That's not necessarily true, but right, it definitely helps. Okay, it's a big part of it. And so yes, eventually he gets Mr. Williams to tell him where the little girl's body is, and they go there and they dig up her body. And this was all without a lawyer. And it goes to trial, and of course he's convicted, and it goes up to appeal, and they appeal it all the way to the United States Supreme Court. And it was overturned on the appellate level because they violated the Sixth Amendment right to counsel. Okay? And I know what you guys are thinking. Like, there's nothing wrong with this. This guy deserved what he got. This guy, there's nothing. But the court said no. Right? The police knew what they were doing. The police knew they were violating the Sixth Amendment rights. The police knew that this gentleman had constitutional rights, and intentionally. And even though they agreed over and over and over again, and it was made known to them, they simply ignored the constitutional requirements and just totally squashed them based on police detective motivations. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, there was this huge dissent, and people were dissenting generally. People were upset by this. And then it was, I tell this part, it was Justice Stevens that said, right, nothing we write can bring that little girl back. Nothing we write can bring that little girl back. But what we do write has implications for generations to come, future generations. And I think that there was Justice Marshall wrote, the dissenters have, I believe, lost sight of the fundamental constitutional backbone of our criminal law. They seem to think that Detective Lemming's actions were perfectly proper, indeed laudable examples of good police work. In my view, good police work is something far different from catching the criminal at any price. It is equally important that the police, if guardians of the law, fulfill their responsibility to obey its commands scrupulously. In the end, life and liberty can be as much endangered from illegal methods used to convict those thought to be criminals as from the actual criminals themselves. And then he goes on to quote a very famous quote, and it says, for good or for ill, it teaches the whole people by its example, that is the government. And crime is contagious. If the government becomes a lawbreaker, it breeds contempt for law. It invites every man to become a law unto himself, and it invites anarchy.
Yep.
And so well, they broke the law clearly here, and it was important for this man who was trying to do the right thing, even though he had done a bad thing, to come to justice, but he still deserved the process.
So what was his conclusion? What ever happened to this guy?
In the end, there was another case. There was another famous case, and it actually gave an exception to the Sixth and Fourth Amendments, right? And that is inevitable discovery. At the same time, right, there was other evidence about where the body's girl's body could be found from another completely different department. And so they were already en route to go get the little girl.
So fortunately, because although the one detective did something outside of the proper law, they were able to utilize and throw that out. They were able to utilize another
later on. Yes.
So we were fortunate on that
in a second. But
I'll tell you, everything you said, Ross, I cannot deny. I will not say I don't agree, because I do. I think the law is so precious. You've got to protect it. And if there is a flaw in the law, then we do the process to get it corrected. But until such point in time, if you start screwing with the law, just like you said, then it becomes worthless.
Right. And so in this case, too, it illustrates what exactly is the lawyer requirement. So as soon as you say, I want a lawyer, interrogations have to cease. And I told the folks that were listening in last week that when we talked about the Fifth Amendment, we would talk about the interrogation aspect. It's got to be custody and interrogation. And so we spoke during the Fifth Amendment whether or not a seizure is custody and whether custody was a seizure. And we said that custody is definitely a seizure, but not all seizures are custody.
Can I be ignorant here? Help me clarify. You're being detained, you're into custody, and seizure.
So a seizure, a detention is a seizure. Okay, any kind of submission to a show of authority, any kind of time you stop after being asked to stop by the police, that's going to be a detention, probably. I mean, 90-something percent of the
sometimes case. You see people say, am I being detained? And then an officer said, well, no, but we want to...
Right, and then so if they say that, I'd leave. I'd turn around and walk off. Okay, we'll see you later. Okay? and so if they're going to detain you, then they need to detain you. And if they're going to put you in custody, that's when, okay, you're going to be interrogation. That's also when Miranda for the Fifth Amendment is going to apply, is when right, you're in custody and you're being interrogated. So this case really gives us a good example about what can be interrogation. So it was thrown out because he didn't ask him any questions.
No, he did not.
He didn't ask Mr. Williams any questions.
But he spoke in a manner that made him spill his guts.
But yes, and so but he it was calculated what the phrase is going to be, it was calculated to elicit an incriminating response.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, it was calculated to elicit an incriminating response.
But I do commend the officer. I do commend him. That was very he's sharp. He's thinking.
He's sharp. And what else about Detective Lemming, I think, is a big A+ for him. He was honest. He didn't lie about anything that he did. When they called him at trial and tried to get this case thrown out for that, he didn't lie about any of it. He straight up said, yeah, I did that. This is what I did.
Hoping probably that it's a loophole that will be overlooked and he can get this guy convicted.
Probably, but it was just between him and Mr. Williams. He could have said whatever he wanted to say.
That's right, yeah.
He admitted it. Big kudos to the police in this instance for being honest on the stand, because I can tell you there's at least some police officers out there, if not a lot, that
doesn't this kind of go like
probably
I love,
wouldn't have been
I love
honest.
Caesar, but I love Rome more. Isn't that kind of the same thing? We love how this is happening to catch a criminal, but I love Rome more, meaning I love correct. To preserve the law to keep it intact, because like you just said before, if that gets corrupt, then everything gets corrupt.
I think that's a really good analogy. Okay, right. So
it's 10:52 on March 23rd. Matt said something good again.
And so we have, I mean, this is just, it's just one of those example cases. And so I love to bring this example up and ask jurors, if they were in the judge's positions on the Supreme Court, would they have been able to do this? And if they say no, I don't, you know, that's somebody I don't want on my jury. As somebody who doesn't love Rome more, they would rather see the bad guy go to jail.
All right, give me 1 second. We got a question here. Do we get anything from Delicious Janae? Guys, you got it? Okay. We're going to have to wrap it up. Ross, why don't you, can you summarize all the Sixth Amendment here real quick?
And remember, we want a fair trial, okay? And a lot of the times that means the public trial, a speedy trial. It means the location of the trial, and it means the jury, and it means the location of where the jury comes from. It also protects notice. We got to have notice of what we're being accused of and why we're being accused of that, including the facts of the case. We want to be able to confront our witnesses, which we didn't even get to, right? And that based on hearsay. We don't want hearsay that's out there, just what somebody else said, without being able to confront that person and see where they're getting their information. Okay, and this is probably one of the most important rights out there, and I'm sorry we didn't get to it.
Well, let's do a Sixth Amendment Part B then.
I think that would be great.
Okay, and I think, I don't know what Rick's schedule is. If he has to come in this upcoming Saturday, we'll do that and then follow up again on it. Otherwise, if not, I can postpone the 7th and do a Sixth Amendment Part B.
That would be great. I'd love to do that.
Okay.
And then compulsory process. We have a right to go get our witnesses that are going to help our case.
This is a very important one, ladies and gentlemen. We really need to go over it.
We have a right to an attorney. Okay, you have a right to an attorney, and it's just a huge right, as we can see from Brewer versus Williams.
Very good. Tell everybody who you are, how to get a hold of you.
Benton Ross Watson. We love questions about the show. We love comments on the show. You can email me at benton@watson.legal. That's benton@watson.legal. If you got, please, a lot of times I get an email without a phone number. Leave your phone number so I can call you back. If you need to call me, it's 254-605-4140. That's 254-605-4140. Leave a message. Me or Sonya or I will get back to you. If you want to schedule an appointment here in Cameron or even in Brazos County or Harris County, please do call that number or just come see us down here in Cameron at 105 East Main Street. 105 East Main Street here in Cameron, right across the street from the courthouse. Big milk cow on the side. You can't miss it.
Sounds great. RespectForYou.com, Coppolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm, sponsoring this long segment. We can't thank them enough, and all our sponsors as well. Ross, as always, it's a pleasure. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you, man.
And maybe we'll see you next week. I'll talk to Rick about it. Okay, guys, for conserving time, let's go right into Delicious Janae Goodman with another tactical snacking segment. Chief, if you're listening, we'll try and get you right about the top of the hour. See you on the other side.
Hello, my lovelies, and happy St. Patrick's Day to you. I've got some composting tips to help you stay green. If you missed last week's segment about sprucing up your garden for spring, be sure to check it out at thecultivatedclassroom.com. I'm Janae Goodman, and this is Tactical Snacking. What on earth is compost? If you're keen on gardening, chances are that you've heard the word, but I can still help you out with a formal definition. Compost is decayed organic material that can be used as plant fertilizer. It is a pile made up of mostly plant and raw food materials, and there are a handful of things to do to ensure your compost pile is hot, heaping, and healthy. For starters, what can you compost? Plant materials such as tree bark, broken down sticks, and withered crops, fruit and veggie scraps, or things like leafy tops or peels or stems, eggshells, some paper-based materials, which include coffee filters, paper bags, newspapers, and shredded cardboard. You can also do loose coffee grounds and tea leaves, or waste from herbivorous animals, such as horses, chickens, and rabbits. Remember to break down larger items like sticks and cardboard to avoid a longer breakdown time of your compost. Along with that list comes a number of items that you do not want to introduce to your compost pile. Things such as meat and fish, or waste from carnivorous animals. This includes dogs and cats. Milk or dairy, whole eggs, remember only the eggshells, cooked food and leftovers, and glossy and ink-based paper. That includes stickers you find on your produce. Plastic and glass do not break down, so be sure to leave those in a recycling bin instead. You'll also want to avoid adding any large amount of citrus peels. Avoid adding treated wood and synthetic or chemical-based fertilizers as well. Citrus peels can ward off any insects that you need to make your compost pile thrive. Meats and dairy can add quite a stench when they decompose. They also attract unwanted rodents to your compost, meaning potential diseases and unwanted bacteria that's passed on to you. Man-altered materials such as glossy and ink-based papers carry chemicals. This, of course, being the same issue with synthetic fertilizers and chemical-based pesticides. Newspaper is safe because most of them are printed using a soybean oil-based ink. You must remember that compost will be used to make recycled soil, so you don't want to introduce chemicals or rodents to your crops. Don't introduce them to your organic matter pile. If you're looking at starting a compost pile at home, you'll want to start directly on Mother Nature. This allows for beneficial insects to find their way to your pile. Next, stack a layer of sticks and twigs, which allows your pile to drain water and allows for aeration. Then, you'll want to alternate between green and brown layers. The green layers are made up of living organic materials, such as grass clippings or those food scraps and withered plants we mentioned earlier. The brown layers are comprised of items like hay, dried leaves, tree bark, basically any dry organic plant materials. When you're done alternating between the green and the brown layers, water it plenty. Your compost should be moist, but it should not be continuously soaked. Overwatering will cause your pile to rot in all the wrong ways. Keeping too dry of a compost pile, however, will elongate the amount of time that it takes for your pile to break down, so be sure to incorporate water occasionally or put it in a place that it gets ample rain. Once it's nice and finely watered, cover your compost. You can do so with a tarp, wood slats, plastic sheets, or whatever you may have on hand. You'll also want to turn your compost pile every few weeks. This means that you take a large shovel or a pitchfork and toss your materials around like a salad. This allows for air to be introduced to your pile, meaning that items break down just a tad bit faster. When adding new items to your compost, be sure to cover them with existing compost layers. There's no need to layer new items, but you don't want to attract fruit flies or any other rodents. If a pile seems like an eyesore and you lack the room for one, you can always opt for a compost barrel instead. Compost barrels or tumblers are handy because they make it easy to incorporate new material into your compost. Not to mention that they're less work when it comes to aerating. Plus, if you have some energetic kids around, they love helping you spin the barrel. A healthy compost pile should incorporate FBI. If the feds are knocking at your door, I hate to break it to you, but it has nothing to do with your composting skills. We're talking about fungi, bacteria, and invertebrates. Mold and mushrooms are wonderful for breaking down organic materials because of a natural enzyme they possess. Bacteria warms up your compost pile, and as bacteria breaks down organic matter, nutrients are released into the compost. Invertebrates, or animals that don't have backbones, allow air into your organic matter while also breaking down materials by eating them. Composting comes with a heap of benefits. Primarily, adding compost to your soil gives your crops a boost of nutrients. It also attracts beneficial bugs to your garden beds. This includes worms, beetles, and spiders. Lastly, composting allows you to recycle food regardless of if you have a garden or not. Studies have shown that composting can actually eliminate up to 30% of waste in your home trash can, and that means less waste overall. So whether you're a green thumb gardener or not, I encourage you to compost. Be sure to drop a line at tacticalsnacking@yahoo.com if you wish to inquire more about composting or kitchen skills. Be safe, enjoy your St. Patrick's Day, and until next time, stay hungry, my friends.
It is now time for the Master of Manners, the communicator of common sense, and the epitome of encyclopedia, Officer Randy Dixon, the voice of law enforcement.
Hey, good morning, everybody. I hope you're having a great and wonderful day. It'll be a great day outside. We're in the spring of the year. The blue bonnets are popping up, and people are out and about everywhere. You know, school spring breaks are over, so we're on the downhill slide to that good old summertime when all the kids will be out and the vacations will be starting. You know, today, today I looked at a couple of things to talk about. And the first thing I want to do is, I don't know how many of you read the Temple Daily Telegram, and, you know, there's a, in the editorial page, they have a lot of things, a lot of times that are controversial, depends on what side of the fence you're on, but there's an article in there today I urge everybody to read about, and it's kind of plays into what we've always talked about in this show, is that, you know, protecting individuals, protecting people, is one of the most important things to get to do. And, you know, the article that's talking mainly, and you'll have to excuse me today, the good old spring allergies have hit me pretty hard. But the article today or the comment is about the guns in the schools. You know, they talk a little bit about what's already been planned, what was done, about the school marshal program. Then they talked about the guardian program. Or the guardian plan to allow school boards to determine training standards and authorize specific employees to carry on campuses. You know, I urge you to look at that because the last paragraph of that, and I'm going to read that, and it's, like I said, it's not my paragraph. This is one that was put in by the Telegram. But, you know, I think it's really important that you look at this. You know, the possibility of accidents or thefts are too easy for a lot of schools. Smaller schools may not be able to afford more staff than local law enforcement. And, you know, help may be miles and minutes away. Since any teacher or staff member who takes on the added responsibility of having a gun at school will be volunteering to do so, there are cases where an added deterrent of someone who might stop a shooter would help. You know, I want you to think about that paragraph a moment. When someone takes the responsibility to be able to carry a weapon, and whether it's you're at school, whether you're in your church, your synagogue, or wherever you may be, you owe it to yourself to know, keep up with the most important laws, keep up with what's going on around you, be a little nosy and talk about things with your fellow adults that are around you. and also go out and practice. If you're gonna take responsibility to afford safety for children, it's of utmost importance that you do what is right, and you go out and you take that gun and you take that weapon, that firearm, and you learn how to use it. Don't just put it in your pocket and say, I'm armed. It's kind of like the neighborhood watch program. You know, for years, there are a lot of people in neighborhood watch programs that all they wanted was a sign. So they think that was a deterrent. Folks, let me tell you, how many of you have seen the speed limit signs going down the interstate, maybe at 75 or back when they were 55? And you know, everywhere you look, you got a state trooper or a local police officer that has a car pulled over for going a little bit above that posted sign. Signs don't do a thing. You got to take the effort. You got to make that effort. You got to take out. You got to do what's necessary. You've got to make that extra step effort. And by golly, if you're going to be brave enough and smart enough and you're going to want to help society, especially if you're going to be around school children, do the right things and learn how to do it. Now, on my main topic today, what I want to talk a little bit is about serious business. And I'm talking about something that's very, very serious. Have you ever heard of your friends or your colleagues make a statement or say something, and immediately after saying something, that totally offends you or incites your sense of being, he or she says and comes up with this, or maybe it's your spouse that says, oh, I was just fooling around. You know I didn't mean it. I'm sorry. Unfortunately, once something has been said or uttered, written or published, we can't apologize enough or explain all day long, and the fact remains the damage has already been done. You know, hence, there's an old adage, I might forgive, but I'll never forget or remember. And I think there's even a country music song that says, God forgives, but daddies never forget. So when you look at that, and when I'm thinking, where am I going with this? Well, everything I might say could come back to bite me. Over the past couple of years or months, many police departments around the country have received numerous complaints on social media, blasting everything, including they've had people that are sexting each other, they're texting obscenities to each other, they're posting sexual explicit photos, everything somebody posts online never goes away. And you got to remember that. It never, ever goes away. You've got a cell phone, and you send a text to someone. You can erase it all day long, but that never goes away. That text is stored somewhere in a computer, whether it be with the service provider you have, maybe it's on your telephone. And I understand you all realize that no matter how much you erase something on your phone, it's always there. Law enforcement has programs that'll pull up anything that's ever been on your telephone. And you say, well, that's invasion of privacy. No, not really, because you rent that telephone from the people that you're using it for. You rent the airways. So, I mean, it's something that's controversial, but you just need to remember that. You know, all over this country, young people and adults alike have been having issues with this. You know, there was recently a Massachusetts high school student that was arrested and placed into custody for something that was posted on his personal Facebook site. According to the news report there in Massachusetts, that young man posted something of a rap lyric which mentioned the White House, the Boston Marathon bombing that happened a number of years ago, and made the statement, everybody will see what I'm going to do. I'm going to kill people. Folks, you know, he was probably fooling around. He probably had no intention of that. He was trying to write a rap song. But when you say that, when you utter those words cause an excitement among individuals. It's like the original laws that talked about creating a fervor in a theater. You yell fire, people are going to run. People are going to move. So, you know, it was really important that the friends of this young man brought this to the attention of the school authorities, who did turn it in and did the right thing. Urge your children, if they hear things about like that, if they hear people talking about doing something, or if they get anything on their phone, they see text, whether it be in Twitter, whether it be Twitter, Facebook, or any of the dozens of social media sites that are out there now. You know, he didn't make a direct statement against one person. What he did make was an online media threat about serious. You know, it's kind of like who would be the populist or rate with a result such as this? I mean, who's going to be upset? Well, if you're living around him, you're probably going to be upset. Or if your child goes to the school that he goes to, you're probably going to be upset. You know, it's a catch-22, no matter how one looks in a situation. Is this young man disturbed? Was he a terrorist? We don't think of a terrorist being a high school student, do we? But I guarantee if you lived in Santa Fe or you lived in Florida or you lived in wherever it may be, in Lakewood, Colorado, you'd think of young people being as terrorists, especially if your child's dead. However, it's important to realize this. Under the strictest of interpretations, anytime someone makes a broad statement of danger and death to people, it becomes an act of domestic terrorism. Let me give you a standard accepted definition for domestic terrorism. It's a calculated use of violence or the threat of violence against civilians in order to attain goals that are potential as far as political or religious or ideological in nature. This is done through intimidation or coercion or instilling fear. Think about those few minutes, instilling fear. You know, I'd really hate to think that one of our students in this town or Temple or Waco or Rogers or Rosebud Lot is upset enough that they would just make a stupid, out of the ordinary, I'm angry statement that I'm going to kill someone, and they'd be charged with a criminal offense. Folks, talk to your kids. Be a parent. As I said earlier, statements that are not meant to be that do excite some people. You know, there's always, always somebody that's going to remember that statement. Another issue which many young people don't take into consideration today is that the sexting or posting of photographs that we consider illegal in nature. Recently, you know, there was some young people out of the Temple area that had a thing going in junior high school, and they were posting each other's private parts. Unfortunately, those private parts are protected under the law as far as sexting is concerned. That means that when you send it, you are now in violation of that law. So I've heard several adults say, oh, it's just a bunch of guys having a good time. No harm was intended. Folks, you gotta talk to your kids. You gotta talk to them. Because whether they intended to commit harm or not, harm does come about if someone takes it the wrong way. Over the years, we've heard many, many people talk about sexual harassment. You know, and over the last couple of years, it's expanded. A joke that was meant to be just a joke might be taken the wrong way, and that could be considered sexual harassment. Things of that nature, all that comes into play, especially with social media. It makes no difference, absolutely no difference, if the sender is underage or not with this. If they're 13 years old, if they're 10 years old, if they're 20 years old, if you post the wrong thing online or send the wrong pictures online, you've now committed a criminal offense. You know, there's a social danger that's mixed with sexting, and the material can be easily and widely propagated over what the original person had no concern, no intent whatsoever. You know, we always talk about and this gets a little personal here, but you talk about, they say when one person sleeps with another person, everybody that sleeps with them thereafter is sleeps with that person. The same is true with texting. When you send a text out or you send a sexting, you have no control who they forward that to. You have no control who's going to receive that. So, folks, talk to your kids. Once again, use common sense and somehow talk to your kids as an adult. Teach them that there are certain things that have risk associated with it. You know, cell phones are a great thing. Have you ever thought about a minute, and I saw a political cartoon not too long ago. It showed a family sitting at a table, and they all agreed that they would have 3 hours, just 3 measly hours with no cell phone. Absolutely no smartphone. And then the next cartoon over shows them 10 minutes later and sweating, they're panicking. We've become a nation that simply can't live without our smartphones. You know, I don't know about y'all, but I get really frustrated. I get really aggravated if I go into a restaurant and I'm sitting there having a good meal and all of a sudden phones start ringing everywhere. I don't care who it is. You always should have a have the common courtesy to put your cell phone on vibrate or on some kind of non-noise making. That's a place where we simply, anywhere, whether it's church, whether it's a restaurant. How many of you have ever been to a funeral and you've heard a cell phone go off? Come on, folks. We live with the cell phones, but it's time to be adults about it with our kids. You know, talk to your teen. It's a scary thought for many of us, but one of those unavoidable responsibilities of being parents. Talk to them about the possible long-term consequences of getting involved in sexting. Talk to them about what the word pornography is if they're under the age of 18 and send out photographs of their private parts. Don't let your kids drive drunk. You say, hey, we go from one thing to the other. Yeah, we do. But I'm also incorporating that simply from the fact that it's time that we, every one of us who have children, grandchildren, we step up and do the right things. You know, would you let your kid go out in a car and get drunk and drive? No, you would not consciously. Not a one of you listening to this today would. But we let our kids have their cell phones, and we let them go out and do what they want to do. Monitor the cell phones. If you're paying for that phone, you have the absolute right to know what's on that phone. They say, well, I've got it protected. Take that phone away from them. Nothing says you got to let them have that phone. If they're not going to let you share and see what's in it, take the darn thing away from them until they agree. You know, there's a big difference between we need our cell phone and we have to have our cell phone. And come on, in all reality, folks, do they really need it? Parenting is a hard job. Parenting is a job that's going to require you to make some hard decisions. Down the road, those kids, your grandkids, they're going to appreciate those decisions you make. You're going to be the bad person right now, but stand up and take those phones away if you see them misused. And I'm not really harping on phones today because I've just seen a lot of things in the news recently, a lot of things personally, where a lot of people are being bullied, hurt, and pushed around by cell phones. Folks, do what's right. Control the kids with the cell phones. And like I said, I don't mean to be on a high horse or mean to be disrespecting of anyone, but it's time you do your job as a parent. So last but not least, have a great weekend, everybody. I hope you get out and get to enjoy this weather. Watch out for the creepy crawlers that are coming out this time of year. And above all, if you put your kids inside of a bluebonnet patch, make sure you watch first. Have a great weekend, everybody, and be safe.
Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron focuses on cases involving personal injury litigation, including asbestos exposure and mesothelioma. At Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm, you are never treated like a number. Cases are accepted on a contingency basis, so clients do not have to pay out of their pocket. Contact Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron today. Call 888-MESO-FIRM.
Hi, I'm Jason Donat from EBCO Development in Cameron. Okay, so one of those bargain home improvement workers hurt himself on the job. Who pays? You do, because low prices don't include insurance for problems like that. So you think you got a bargain? Wrong answer. So why take chances? EBCO Development has been there for you since 1984. Remodeling, new construction, roofing, and more. Call us first. We're EBCO Development. 254-697-2186. 697-2186.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Beatros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. AaronsGunshop.com.
Power. Sometimes you just need more. But what do you do when that yard equipment needs more or just isn't working like it used to? The answer is Cameron's Fall Engine, formerly Cameron's Seed Company, where friendly service and quantity work stop at 408 West Bath. They provide all your outdoor power equipment needs. Check out their selection of Echo, Snapper, and Zero Turn Big Dog mowers. Power through the summer with Cameron's Fall Engine. Call 254-697-3452 or stop in at 408 West Bath.
Hi, everyone. Matt, your host from Aaron's High Cab Adventure Radio program here, and I'm very excited to tell you about our new sponsor, Liquor Depot, located in the Milam Plaza right next to Brookshire Brothers. As you know, I'm a bartender, and when I walk into Liquor Depot, I get excited looking at all the variations of wine, beer, and spirits. So if you're going to have a party, wedding, or business event, and you want to serve alcohol, Liquor Depot is the place to come to stock your bar and your icebox. Great prices, excellent selection, and lots of friendly help to get you what you need. There are lots of great enhanced gift ideas, too, for any occasion. Liquor Depot is open Monday through Saturday from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. and is located at 1604 West 4th. So stop in today and stock up or call Liquor Depot at 254-605-0766.
Arch Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms,
everybody, the Aaron's High Cab Adventure Radio program. The reason I play that song, one, I like it. I really do. And if you know me, you know I wear my sunglasses all the time. I wear them in movie theaters. I wear them at night. I wear them in day. I wear them in rain. It doesn't matter. I wear them. Why? Because I want to. Okay. I just like to wear them. It helps my eyes out. But anyway, welcome back to the show. We've got about, I don't know, 38 minutes left to go in the show. We've got a lot of stuff to come up. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I wanted to tell you again about our sponsors and what it takes to get this show on the air. When I first did this show, I had this gift of gab, I guess, and I wanted to get on the air and talk about what I know and share it with everybody and hope that it would catch and people would like it and feel it had merit to help support it. Okay? So I don't expect to come on the air and say, look, hey, you're going to pay for this. I expect to come on the air to give you the best I can when it comes to information and knowledge in my particular field of expertise. So I arrange it. I work all week long. I talk to people, special guests. I get special segments, everything that I can do to cloverleaf and loop back into the show so it all kind of fits together for preparedness for yourself and for others and all this. And I've got friends and associates who like the program, who feel that they want to sponsor it to not only support the program, but obviously because I've got a listener base that people will support them by going to them and doing business with them instead of going somewhere else. So ladies and gentlemen, I'm asking you, if you think this show has merit, I need your support. I'm putting in the time and the effort to give out the information. I'm finding sponsors the best I can, but I could use your help too. And any way you can support this program is greatly applauded. And liking us on Facebook, following us on Instagram, subscribing to the YouTube channel, telling people about the show, sharing it, donating, making a donation on the radio page. If you're a business out there, we've got a built-in audience. Sponsor the program. Sponsor a segment. Otherwise, it's extremely difficult to stay on the air. Am I begging? I can call it what you want. I'm just saying I'm putting in my share, and that is I want to give everything I can to you of me, of what I know. But I need your support to continue it. So if you like this program and you want to stay on the air, I need your support. So think about that and sponsor or support the sponsors who support the program. Now, I understand if you're going to make a major buy and a local can't come up with the drastic savings that you can make going somewhere else. I get it. I get it. But on the other stuff, they're doing their best to stay in business to keep you convenient. So you just go around the corner instead of making a 30-minute, 40-minute trip to go somewhere else to get the product. So support the sponsors and support the show. It's the circle of life. You support them, they support me. I stay on the air. You get your information. Okay? That's how it works. Now, every week, Monday through Friday, I send out testimonials, devotionals, whatever you want to call them, to a list of people who feel as though they like what I've got to say through my life's experience and my limited knowledge of the word, and I try to share it, and I send it out. And if you would like to become on that list or get on that list, just give me an email at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com. Give me your name and number, say heard on the show, want to be on the list. And I send out the devotional individually, not in a group, so you're kept private. Nobody knows who's who on the list. But this one here is from Thursday, and it reads, "Good morning. What about the bum on the street, or the one who stands on the corner with their cardboard signs, or anyone in any condition or status of life? Do we help them?" That's a hard question to answer, but then again, it's really not. We can't help every person, even though we may want to. It's like me wanting to save every stray cat. I just can't do it. So I only rescue those that touch my heart in a special way. Well, when it comes to people, it's the same way. However, I let God put a pang in my heart to tell me when and who to help. As my relationship with God grows, I, quote unquote, hear his voice more clearly. And because of that, I am able to willingly sacrifice myself for the pleasure of God. Now, this comes from Hebrews 13, chapter 13, verses 15 and 16. This is New American Standard Bible. Verse 15, "Through him then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. And do not neglect doing good and sharing, for which such sacrifices God is pleased." Now, this is me again. "Trying to offer a testimonial in a short text can sometimes leave questions, but I believe if this is meant for you, God will pang your heart and the message will be clear. Have a blessed day." So, ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to receive a testimonial or devotional from me Monday through Friday, and be warned, I send it anywhere from 2 to 4 in the morning. So if you want it, send me an email at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com. Tell me who you are. Give me your number. Tell me you heard it. Tell me what you want. And put your phone on silent. Okay, so I don't wake you up at 2 to 4 in the morning. Now, let's move on to our sponsored segment here by ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer. Arch Kuntz is the owner. I've known him for years. He's a great guy. And what makes him great is he's consistently pleasurable, generous, friendly, just an all-around good guy. And he's got a great staff, Dennis, Mike, Clint. And they've got a lot of great products, pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, holsters, accessories, reloading equipment, the works. And this week, what we're going to talk about, and I didn't talk about it last week. And let me clarify. I promoted it a couple weeks ago, but then I forgot about the training seminar on Saturday doing one of the churches, and we got the special guest, so I just put a replay of the American Tactical 1911. So this week, we're actually going to be talking about the Glock 43, and I got a couple snippets from an article off of Alien Holsters, I think it's called. So I'm going to read to you bits and pieces of it, and then I'm going to give you some of my ad-lib concerning the Glock 43. Okay, the Glock 43X, it's not the Glock 43, but the Glock 43X, the X standing for 10 rounds. Okay, Glock 43X, the 43 improved? The Glock 43X was one of the more hotly anticipated pistols going into SHOT Show 2019, the show they have in Vegas. The Glock 43X is better than the 43. There, we said it. Let's go ahead and get into the nitty-gritty. Glock 43X specifications. The Glock 43X are not too dissimilar to the standard 43, but it does have a slightly fatter frame and a slightly longer grip to accommodate a magazine that holds a 10 plus 1 capacity. Not by much, the difference, according to Glock's reps at Industry Day at the range, is less than 1 centimeter wider. The Glock 43X has a 3.41-inch barrel and retains the same slide as the 43, so the length is unchanged at 6.06 inches. Width at the frame is 1.1 inches, so it's still very slim. However, the extended magazine does bring total height to 5.4 inches, so it's a bit taller. The magazine is Glock's slim 01 design, which differs from their standard double-stack magazine. The slide has fore and aft serrations, and it comes with your choice of factory white dot or factory upgraded sight sets, such as the Glock Night Sights and Ameriglow Bold. The standard slide in stainless, and in reality it's not stainless, I believe it's a silver Cerakote finish on there, and that's not stainless steel slide. Though the black model may be in the works if you prefer that. As far as everything else, well, it's basically a slighter, fatter, slightly taller Glock 43. The grip angle and palm swells are the same, and controls are the same as the Gen 4 43. Why did they make the Glock 43X? Well, it's because Glock actually listens to customers and watches trends in the industry. So in response to that, Glock designed the 43X. Now, it doesn't have a 12+1 capacity, but it does hold 10+1. Now, what that means, in case you're not familiar with it, is 10 in the magazine and 1 in the chamber, so you actually have 11 rounds. I wouldn't say the Glock 43X is a game changer per se, but what I would say for the purposes of this Glock 43X review is that it's one of the best pistols they make. As far as controls and everything goes, it's a Glock. You pretty know how much that works already. The Glock 43X is easier and more comfortable to shoot than most pistols around its size. The slightly wider frame and grip fill the palm a little better and allow for a better grip, which makes for a fantastically easy shooting gun for its size and weight. And the 43X is as accurate as you'd expect from Glock. It's not a surgical laser, but it's far more capable than you'd think. This would make a great carry pistol, no doubt about it. The trigger is a standard Glock pistol. Trigger set, not great, but definitely usable. The palm swell on the lower half of the grip is actually more comfortable than the 43X. More comfortable on the 43X than the 43 or the 42, since the grip is wide enough for you to actually notice it. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let me make a note. If you go to my Facebook page, aaronsgunshop.com, go to the Facebook page, you'll notice a video clip of me. It's 12 seconds long. I'm shooting a Ruger Security 9 as my main, and my backup was the Glock 43. However, I'm about to show it to you in the video where you can make the Glock 43, if you already have one, comparable to the size of a Glock 43X. So for purposes of this video, I'm going to show it to you. But go to Facebook page, Aaron's Gunshop Facebook page, and look at me shooting the Glock 43, which is basically the 43X, the way I've got it built up, and you'll see how quick it is to draw and easy to shoot. But here it is in the video. I'm looking at a Glock 43 with an extended mag. You are now looking at the Glock 43X. That's basically what it is, except it's got a silver slide, Cerakote painted slide to look like it's stainless. Okay, it's very compact, it's very easy to use, and the difference here, I told you it's a niche gun, right? Well, if you take the magazine, I've got an extended magazine on this 43. If you take it out, there's your 43, and all it is it's your basic 43 model, if you're familiar with it. It's got the short grip handle, but because I've got a large hand, it's a little awkward. So before the 43X came out, I just happened to get an extension mag, put it in there, and it fills my hand. Well, voila, the 43X, solved. You can buy it right from the get-go with the silver slide, which is sweet, okay? And it's got the extended mag well, so for those who have a bigger hand, you've got a niche gun, okay? The only difference between the 43 and the 43X is when you take the mag out, it's a little bit shorter. So if you got your 43, put it in your belt holster or whatever and use your short mag, and then have extension mags if you need it for extra capacity. If you're a larger person and you don't want the shorter grip, then get your 43X. They are both fantastic guns, but either way, ANC Firearms and Heidenhammer's got every kind of Glock you can think of. So give them a call at 254-983-4417. It's 254-983-4417. Say you heard on the radio, they got them on the shelf right now. Go in there. Go drive right now. And while you're driving, turn on KMIL or KRXT. And listen to me live so you don't miss any of the good information coming up. And get yourself a Glock 43, a Glock 19, a Glock 17, or any other type of gun you want from ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer. Give them a call, 254-983-4417. Remember, everybody, support the sponsors who support the program. If you're thinking about buying a gun, you go in there and you say, hey, I heard it. Negotiate, you know, do some barter, do whatever you can, whatever you want. Maybe, who knows, maybe they'll give you a better deal. But the price is already good, but go in there and say you heard it. We wanted to support your store. We want to support the radio show. And give them a call. Tell them you heard it here. Go in there and buy a firearm accessory or whatever it is, and support the program. So with that, Kincaid, let's take a break. And when we come back, it's going to be moi. We're going to be going over a lot of things, and we'll talk about it on the other side. See you on the other side.
Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417.
Power. Sometimes you just need more. But what do you do when that yard equipment needs more or just isn't working like it used to? The answer is Cameron's Bald Engine, formerly Cameron Seed Company, where friendly service and quantity work stop at 408 West Bank. They provide all your outdoor power equipment needs. Check out their selection of Echo, Snapper, and Zero Turn Big Dog Mowers. Power through the summer with Cameron's Bald Engine. Call 254-697-3452 or stop in at 408 West Bank.
Hi, everyone. Matt, your host from Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio program here, and I'm very excited to tell you about our new sponsor, Liquor Depot, located in the Milam Plaza right next to Brookshire Brothers. As you know, I'm a bartender, and when I walk into Liquor Depot, I get excited looking at all the variations of wine, beer, and spirits. So if you're going to have a party, wedding, or business event, and you want to serve alcohol, Liquor Depot is the place to come to stock your bar and your icebox. Great prices, excellent selection, and lots of friendly help to get you what you need. There are lots of great enhanced gift ideas, too, for any occasion. Liquor Depot is open Monday through Saturday from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. and is located at 1604 West 4th. So stop in today and stock up or call Liquor Depot at 254-605-0766. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Beatros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. AaronsGunshop.com.
Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm focuses on cases involving asbestos exposure, mesothelioma, birth trauma, defective products, and injury and death resulting from car and truck wrecks. Call the tough, experienced injury attorneys at Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron. Call 888-MISO-FIRM or 254-697-4965.
Back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio program, March 23rd, 2019. I couldn't let couldn't let that music go, man. Smoke on the Water. How can you let that stop playing? Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, I don't have a guest. It's me. And I was telling you earlier on in the show highlights, I was a couple weeks ago, two or three weeks ago, Joel, wasn't it two or three weeks ago, I played this clip, a replay of the 7 Steps to Preparedness, what happens to you based on my life. And one of them was burnout. Well, there's all these steps to preparedness. When you first realize, oh my gosh, I'm behind the curve, or you realize, oh my gosh, I need to start preparing, you have this like panic attack and you start going crazy. Well, we played that, and then I was just looking through some of my notes. I have a whole bunch of binders and notes, things, I'm a writer and that kind of stuff. And I noticed all these preparatory pages I had of preparing. And I thought, you know, this would be a good follow-up, kind of give you an idea what it takes to prepare. And I don't know if you know it or not, but I'm a songwriter too, poet, all bad, doesn't matter. And I've got a poem and song here that I wrote. So it's going to go both for preparing yourself for the coming of the Lord and also for preparing yourself for the coming of the zombie apocalypse. So I'm going to read this before I start talking to my notes that I saw here. But what I wrote this in 2009. It's titled Ready or Not. I guess I'll go with, okay, here we go. The clouds are coming, they're rolling in. You're not aware? Where have you been? Just read the signs, they're everywhere. Or are you one who doesn't care? You know the truth, but turn your back. It's common sense you seem to lack. It stares at you, it's plain to see. The thief is coming for you and me. And then the chorus would be, ready or not, he's on his way. There is no stopping Judgment Day. You're in the book or cast away. Ready or not on Judgment Day. Are you ready? He's on his way. There is no stopping Judgment Day. Then we go, I have no oil that I can spare when the thief has come and he's standing there. You'll be on your own without a clue. There's nothing left for you to do. You laugh and joke at what I say. The day is coming and you will pay. You had your chance, but let it go. The thief has come. You should have known. Ready or not, he's on his way. There is no stopping Judgment Day. You're in the book or cast away. Ready or not on Judgment Day. Are you ready? He's on his way. There is no stopping Judgment Day. So that's for the coming of the Lord, and it's also for the coming of the apocalypse. You better be ready. And if you're not ready, you're either going to have a panic attack and start to get ready, and then you'll have to refer back to my video of the 7 steps of preparedness, or just not give a darn and keep your head in your smartphone. With that, that leads me up to my notes. There's a whole bunch of different ways you can look at getting prepared. You know, if it's just by yourself and you're just going to be a minimalist about it, you can have your bug out bag and put your stuff in your bug out bag, which I'll probably touch on here in just a minute. If you're a little bit more aggressive, you could have your bug out bag and your bug out vehicle. Your bug out vehicle is to get you out of Dodge, you know, like the hurricane's coming and people from Houston had to move out. Well, you should have your vehicle prepped and ready and the things that are going to go in your vehicle. If it gets really bad, you have a secondary location to go to, the whole works. So, or you could take it as you're an individual thinking about this, or you're going to think about other people that you've talked to, your neighbors or special friends that you want to get a group together. God forbid anything happens, you can help each other out. And where one is weak, the other is strong. When the pedal's up, the pedal's down, you know, you help each other out. Okay, so one of my first notes here was, it's the factor of three. You've all heard the factor of three. Like with, in 3 seconds, you have no faith. Okay, you can't survive without faith in less than 3 seconds. And it's basically saying, never lose your faith. 3 hours with no shelter. 3 days without water. 3 weeks without food. 3 months, no companionship. It starts to drive you crazy. And of course, this is just an average. There's some people who've gone many, many more times beyond that. But it's just a generalization. It's kind of make you realize the importance of each particular item here when it comes to shelter, water, food, faith, and companionship. Okay, so keep that in mind, the factors of three. Let's say you want to do a group of people here. Well, you can't just all be independent. You got to come together as a group, right? So you're going to have a leader. And you're going to have an assistant leader. And if you, all my military personnel out there, you'll probably know where I'm going with this. There's a lot of people. I've talked to people at churches. I've talked to people at schools. I've talked to groups of people in different areas about this, and they're always asking me questions. Well, what would you do? What would you do? I say, well, you know, here we go. You would want at least a couple specialists in the next five areas, and there's always more areas, but these are the basic ones. Operations. How is everything going to work? You need a couple people in all these in case, you know, you cross-reference with each other. If one goes down and the other one's available, at least have two people. It's just a good idea. So operations on how things work. Two people who are very familiar with weapons for security purpose. You know, you got to have people who understand how to use the weapons and fix them and teach other people. You need engineers if you have to build things or maybe even take things down. You know, you never know. But at least have a couple people who know what they're doing in that area. Medical, obviously, is extremely important. If you can't have access to your local Scott and White because society is broken down, can you do it on your own? What do you have for medical? So you need some people who can understand that. And then, of course, communication. Without communication, everything fails. You've got to have some form of communication with other groups, with people within your group, so on and so forth. And you must cross-train everybody. Everybody must cross-train. It's like an A-team on a Special Forces A-team. Everybody knows everybody else's job in case one person goes down, the other person picks up the slack, okay? You also may want a chaplain or a counselor. And these people should not be one of the leaders because they need to be in a special group by themselves just so they can take care of other important matters that happens in situations that what we're talking about may be needed for. You might want a medical reference book, some natural remedies and old remedies. That's why, ladies and gentlemen, if you can find the older people here, the seasoned citizens of our communities, ask them, hey, what did you do back in the day when we had this problem and this problem? What kind of herbs or spices or special brews did you come up with to take care of, sickness? And what natural remedies did you have to take care of these things? Here's another big thing, too. And I've been trying to find somebody who can really tell me old school. I can look it up, but I want an old school person to come in here. Give me a call. Tell me, hey, you'd be willing to come on to talk about preserving meat for long-term storage. You know, think about the day back in the colonial days when the army's on the march and they've got to feed their troops. They've got food in barrels, salted or in fat or lard, whatever. I would like to talk to somebody and learn the old school ways. Like I said, I can look it up. I can Google it. We can all do that. But it's good to hear the old tricks of the trade from the people who've been there and done it before us, okay? Here's what I think is extremely important if you're in a group. You got to have leadership. And the leadership, I call it the Supreme Three. The Supreme Three. Three people, one of which is in charge of each of these things. The practical aspect of your situation, the emotional aspect of your situation, and the tactical situation. Okay? What practically should we do? But sometimes being practical can cause emotions from other people. So we got to have somebody say, no, you know, you got to be sensitive on this. Okay. I'll tell you why. On my observation piece, I was talking about something pretty aggressively. Well, that was my second draft. My first draft was pretty radical. Okay. So I was getting, I guess you'd be tactical. Well, I talked to somebody who was on the emotional side of it, and they said, you know, you might want to tone it down a little bit so that more people are receptive to it. So when you have these three people in the practical, tactical, and emotional sense, it hopefully will round itself off to come out with a fantastic product of what you have to do. Also, on the list of my notes, I've got scribbles and scratches of all different things, and I made copies of them here, so I'm just going to read it through here. I got on that same page, I wrote down garbage and waste disposal. Did you ever think about that? It's going to start piling up. Look at San Francisco. Look at the people on the street. Look at the waste, the human waste. Look at the trash, disease, and rats, and all that kind of stuff. You've got to figure out a way for your garbage disposal, your waste disposal. Do you burn it? Do you start using different things as compared to what you've normally done? Do you start washing more dishes as compared to using paper plates? A lot of packaging gets involved, but at that point in time, you won't have packaging. You'll be doing it yourself. You'll still have waste. So you got to learn how to recycle. Security, absolutely mandatory. You pacifists out there, trust me, you're going to pray for somebody to help you. You're going to hope they get there quick, and you're going to hope they have a gun. So get yourself squared away, and I can help you with that. License to carry. Speaking of which, I got a license to carry class on the 30th of this month, Saturday, 2 o'clock. I have spots open. If you want to get in there, you need to call me ASAP to lock yourself in there. Sleeping arrangements. You know, you don't think about it until it's time to go to bed. And if you're in a bad situation, sleeping on the ground gets damp, cold, and uncomfortable. So you need to figure out a way to square that away. Food rationing. When you used to go to the refrigerator every 15 minutes to pull out whatever's in front of you, that's not going to happen in a situation like this. So you need to figure out what's it going to take to keep your health up. You're going to have comfort foods, foods that will store for a long time. Figure out what kind of meals you're going to be making, what kind of meals can be made on the cheap, easily, but also get your nutrition value out there. Do you have a kitchen crew? I remember peeling potatoes in the military, okay? You're going to have some people there doing the necessities for the crew. You got rotating crews, a kitchen crew, a hunting team, security team. Sometimes, however, I would never rotate a security team. Once you get your security personnel in place, they know what they're doing. The security personnel needs to train others just in case, God forbid, something happens to the security team, they can be replaced. But security, they're sharp. Be good hunters, good eyes, good ears. How about farming? In your group of people, do you have cross training with people? Do you have cross strengths? So whoever's a farmer, one person may be a farmer, the other person may not be a farmer. So just share with each other. What kind of equipment do you have available? How can you help each other out? Barter, extremely important. In critical situations, early on especially, money means nothing. Gold means nothing because you can't eat it. Unless you got some people who are in a very good position and who can weather the storm, they may take your gold. However, cigarettes, ammunition, liquor, oils, beans, all those things that you can trade is for barter. Make sure you have all your medical supplies. Clothing, shoes, boots, extremely important. Yes, we live in a hot area, but we all know it gets cold as well, so we need to have proper clothing. Vehicles. What kind of vehicles do you have? Where are you located? Where are you going to be hunkering down? If you're out in the woods, your little Prius, is that what you call it? That little electronic box of a car? It's not going to help you out too much, I don't think. So make sure you get the proper type of vehicles for where you're at. Horses, they eat a lot, but they also get you around a lot. So you have to weigh the difference as to if you want a horse, mule, goat, whatever. Transportation kind of goes with the horses. Fuel doesn't last that long, gasoline. Even when you stabilize it, it doesn't last that long. Here's the big one. And I'm still reading on the first page of my notes. Communication, absolutely vital for the survival of groups, individuals, so on and so forth. You got to be able to communicate. Do you have a handheld radio? Do you have scanners, CB, ham radios, hand crank generators to keep everything powered up? What's your chain of command? Do you have a chain of command? Who's in charge? Do you respect the chain of command or are you going to be an individual? There is no individual crap when it comes to a situation like this. You all work together as a team. Let's see what else we got. Current event schedule, stages. Are you prepping? Are you going to stay home and hunker down? You're going to prep to go to a secondary and then you move to your secondary. So you're going to prep, you're going to stay home and hunker down, you're going to prep to go to your secondary and then move to your secondary. So all these things have to be thought out. What's your route to your secondary location? What's the method of movement to your secondary location? You taking notes? Second page of my notes, I've got a list here of water, food, fire, shelter, protection, vehicle, plan, lights. Let's go over them. Water, water bottles, filters, purification tablets. You got to have water. If you don't clean it up, you're going to get sick. So make sure you got some form of clean water or a method to get it clean. Food, MREs, ramen, miscellaneous, so all that extra stuff that'll last for decades and lifetimes because it's made out of fake stuff, but at least it'll get you through the situation for a short term. Fire, you got to have multiple methods of fire, matches, propane, lighters, fire starter. Shelter, if you're on the move, do you have tents, tarp, rope, straps, stakes, sleeping bags, emergency blankets? What's your protection method? Guns, ammo, knives, security alarms, restraints. What if somebody breaks into your area of operation and you don't want to, you know, stop them permanently? You need to restrain them, right? Well, what's your method for doing that? How about your vehicle? Is it a truck, car, Jeep? Do you have your gas, oil? Is it mechanically sound? Do you have power adapters so you can plug in some type of appliances? You know, example, a hair dryer or a drill or something like that. Plant, where are you going to go? How are you going to get there? And what do you do? Do you have maps? Go to Carta Maps. Get yourself some maps made up of the area. I talked about Carta Maps. Great, great website. lights, flashlights, lanterns, glow sticks, batteries to back it up, fuel for your lanterns. Glow sticks are great because that's the only thing in the military inventory that you can break that still works. Did you know that? Guys, did you know that? Miss Key? You got it. All the equipment in the military, if you break it, it doesn't work. But in this one, this glow stick, you break it, all the chemicals mix up, and it works. It's amazing. That's like military intelligence. It's a oxymoron. Okay, what else we got? I got so much stuff here. Sunglasses, charcoal, lighter fluid, washboards for washing your clothes. You ever think about that? Your clothes are going to get dirty, right? Ladies, feminine hygiene, that's a big thing. Garbage bags, clothespins, all sorts of things you can do with clothespins. Fire extinguishers, baking soda as an alternative to a fire extinguisher. Work boots. Here's a big one, mosquito repellent. Do you ever think about putting mosquito repellent? When they have sales at the end of summer on mosquito repellent, you're buying 5, 6, 7 bottles at a clip. Bleach, mandatory. You can use bleach to purify water. Screws, nails, nuts, and bolts. Never thought about that one, did you? What if you've got a board up the side of your windows? Peppermint schnapps. Just for the hell of it. No, peppermint schnapps is great for settling a bad stomach. It's medicinal. Yeah, it's medicinal. And you can go to Liquor Depot in the Milan Plaza. George, get ready for a rush of people coming in to get peppermint schnapps. It's great. I'm not kidding you. Go there. Soothe your coughs, sore throats, and whatever else ails you. Okay. Deodorant. Nobody wants to smell you. And also, you don't want the enemy to smell you. WD-40 is always great to have. Lice shampoo. Lice. Think about it. Auto supplies. You want spark plugs, wires, hoses, coolant. Don't forget your baling wire, duct tape, and flathead screwdriver, right? I'm going to stop in about another minute because I've got the incredible Master Cindy Key in here. Are you going to abuse me today? You're just going to talk? Oh, okay. I got a note here on bug out bags. Oh, let me do this one since I'm about to run out of time. I'll do the bug out vehicle loading sheet. Truck, gassed, all fluids good, tires okay. Extra gas cans, water, bug out bags, toilet paper, 3 cases MREs, Coleman stove, cooking bag, bag with extra Coleman fuel, first aid kit, ammo and supplies, gun boxes, guns, tarps, rope, 550 cord. 550 cord is fantastic. It's parachute cord. And its guts have about 7 strands of white nylon strands in it, and you can use it for all sorts of things. Canned food, fruit, vegetables, meat, dog leashes. If you got dogs, you got to secure them. You want them running off. Fishing rod, equipment, tack vest. That's always important. Flashlight, bulletproof vest, even more important than your tack vest. Tents, sleeping bags, bug repellent, shortwave, two-ways, batteries. Now, ladies and gentlemen, these are just sheets that I found, and as every time I thought of something, I would write it down. And I just want you to, you know, think about this. I'll put this on video probably Tuesday or Wednesday next week. You can listen to it. We can go over some more of it next week, but I'm running out of time here. These are just thoughts to think about as, you know, I don't think we're going to have a civil war. I think we're going to have individual war. Civil war, if you think about it, North versus South, that's one thing because there was a unity. Here, it seems everybody's so divided with one another. There's so many people thinking so many different things in so many different directions. It doesn't matter if you're in a group or not. It's almost like everybody hates each other. So you got to watch out for yourself. Be prepared for somebody who wants to just assault you on an individual basis. Okay, that's enough of me talking. Miss Key, we've got Master Cindy Key, owner of Central Texas Martial Arts Academy in Rockdale. She is bad. She's a bad... She's really good. I'll say it that way. She knows what she's doing. So, Miss Key, tell us what you're going to talk about for the end of the show here. And this mic is working great, so come on in the video. Okay. And let's talk.
Well, it's a season of working out, right? I even went and joined Planet Fitness myself. Woo-hoo! Since I'm in Temple a couple times a week. But with that comes certain things you need to be aware of. And after about the third or fourth time I went... I mean, I'm like you, Matt. I watch people and I watch their behaviors and stuff. And there was a guy in there and I watched him. He wasn't really working out. So I watched him some more. And the more I watched him, the creepier it got, honestly.
Why did I know you were going to say that? I knew it. He's probably checking out the women, bending over and all that, right?
Oh, yeah. A lot of them take their cell phones, okay? They take their cell phones. They have their earbuds. they're listening to music or something from the cell phone. This guy, and if they're texting, they're looking down, texting, right? Oh, no, this guy had his phone up, and he was just sitting there on the machines, and it was really irritating to me because he's on a machine I wanted to get on. So I just kind of walked by him and kind of gave him a dirty look a couple of times. He finally got up and left, but he just moved from one area. But I watched him, and you're right. He was either videotaping or taking pictures of the pretty girls that were there, you know, lifting the weights and all that.
It's going to be a YouTube video soon. Watch.
I'm just telling you guys need to pay, the girls especially need to pay attention, but that doesn't mean that he might not be looking at guys too. I'm just saying.
I'm not going there.
I'm just saying. You know, you just don't know. But if you're leaving, especially if you're leaving a place like that at night and you've noticed somebody like that, be sure they're still in the building mm-hmm. when you leave. You know, if they've left, then really pay attention. How far is your car, you know, from the door? If you really don't feel comfortable, ask one of the employees to watch you get to your car. You know, they're not going to mind doing that. They're just really not. You know, always... have your keys in your hand. I have my keys with one of these loops. Now I choose to hold it like this.
Mm-hmm. She's got the key between her ring finger and middle finger.
So I can stab, but I can also slash these keys on the face. I've got a lot of stuff on mine, but
it doesn't take much, ladies and gentlemen, to be aware. Like Master Key is saying here, just be aware. And then anything you have is a spontaneous type of defense weapon you can use. You know, tool of opportunity. Take care of that. Miss Key, we're almost out of time. Tell everybody how they get a hold of you.
My number is 254-721-2775. I'm about a mile out of Rockdale going towards Lexington. My building's on the left. Have a free class. Come see me.
See you next week. Until then, keep it powder dry and God bless.